It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
End of the homestand for the Sabres tonight. The Islanders are in. Marty already referenced some of the special teams numbers to look at on either side. It's great to start a new month with Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, who's joined us. She is the unofficial special teams coach of Sabres Live and thus has numbers to dive into potentially for Buffalo's power play goal scoring streak. Might it continue, Shayna?
I mean, that would be ideal, right? And tonight's the night to do it, because if you look league-wide, Sabres have one of the worst power plays in terms of offensive creation and goal scoring. But on the flip side of it, you look at the Islanders, who have been an absolute disaster shorthanded. And it's an area where they're trying to improve, right? They're trying to be a more aggressive shorthanded team, which goes back to the Barry Trotz era a bit, but they're not actually trying to replicate their past. They're basing it more on the Carolina Hurricanes special teams, which has been a huge strength for them. But you go into this season and they're struggling to get through penalty kills while they're generating some offense, and we've seen some shorthanded goals for them. They are allowing a lot of shots back and a lot of quality chances back, and they don't have the goaltending to stop it either. So if any team can, you know, if the Sabres want to take advantage of any team, this might be the ideal opponent.
Is Noah Dobson someone defensively the Sabres can take advantage of, because he is a penalty killer and looked bad against the Anaheim Ducks the other night, and offensively it hasn't worked out as good as last season, but is Dobson somebody that they need to try to take advantage on the defensive side of the puck?
Yeah, I think they could probably try to take advantage of everyone, because that's how things are going this year on Long Island. But to me, Dobson is maybe the Islanders' best player outside of Ilya Sorokin on a good day. But the Islanders have not had many good days that it feels like those opportunities are there. And I think it has to be a big confidence blow to be making those mistakes against a team like the Ducks, who we all expect to be a bottom feeder. Like, they've made things interesting in games, and a lot of it is because of their goaltending, and the Ducks are even managing to take advantage of it. So I think the Sabres can. They have the speed, I think, to go up against a team like the Islanders that maybe lacks a little bit of foot speed, especially with Barzal out of the lineup.
Last night was certainly interesting in the NHL. What is your hot take on the Bruins on the heels of a crushing at the expense of Carolina?
Yeah, I think I want to take a deeper dive into this one and really, you know, go through the video to figure out exactly what's going wrong. But the Bruins, to me, do not look like a contender. They are total frauds. They are, you know, all season we're looking at their 5-on-5 numbers and saying, wow, they're among the worst teams in the league. Maybe they'll find their footing because they have a lot of new faces in the lineup at really key positions, like Zadorov, like Lindholm, and it's shifting around everybody to make that click. And it's not working out at all, and it's not getting any better. And I look at it, and I have to wonder, could they be the first team to make a coaching change? Because I thought last season, to open the year, the Bruins were winning games but not dominating. They were going to overtime a ton, and I wondered, could coaching, you know, be the problem here? Could that be what management goes for because they couldn't upgrade their center depth in season? And now they are a total train wreck that I keep thinking that has to be the move. And I don't think it's the expected move when you started the season day one. But to me, you know, I've been on that train for a little bit that I wonder if that is what they do.
Okay, well, I'll ask you a follow-up question on that. Because of Cam Neely being at the top, and then there's Don Sweeney, the general manager, usually a GM would save his job by saying, I'm firing the coach. And that buys the GM a little bit more time and maybe readjust things next summer when it comes to the roster. But with Cam Neely being so present in the organization and having such of a voice, is Don Sweeney potentially on the hotter seat when you look at Montgomery or Sweeney?
Yeah, I think Don Sweeney could have been on the hot seat a couple times now, because you look at the way the Bruins draft and develop their players. It's always been a fundamental flaw of that team, but I feel like he saves himself by making big trades, and the Hampus Lindholm deal is one that stands out to me for sure. And you see even Zach has worked out better than expected, and now he took those big swings this offseason. So if you're above Don Sweeney and you're Cam Neely, you could look at it and say, well, you signed two players who aren't working out. Who knew Elias Lindholm wasn't a true 1C and shouldn't be shouldering this heavy of a burden, or Zadorov maybe was not worth as much as they signed him for. But I still think that the coach will be the one under fire first, in a way of being like, management brought you these players and you're not maximizing them adequately, and that's why the roster's failing, because it's guys like McAvoy who are struggling and Marchand. And, you know, at that point, you might say it's more than just management.
Are you guys Swayman'd out? Nobody wants to talk about him?
No, let's talk about Jeremy Swayman here. Like, I wonder how much, you know, these contract holdouts affect players, because you're not in the right gear to start the season. You're not a part of all of the late summer training sessions and everything like that, because you're sitting there in limbo. I feel like that can't be good for anyone. I think he's going to rebound, but I think everyone in front of him is making life that much harder, and he's just not doing well under that pressure.
Yeah, I think the team in front of Swayman is not playing well. And there's something to be said for a goalie, because when we do summer skates, right, a lot of it is with a goalie coach, and it's very static, and it's very controlled in a controlled environment. And then if you do a shinny game with your, you know, buddies or whatever, it's all over the place. The pace, the structure is not there in the summer like it should be in training camp and in those preseasons and at the start of the year. So I think Swayman started a little bit behind, in terms of where he should have been coming in so late. And now it's a double whammy. It's the Bruins not playing well and Swayman not where he needs to be. But there's plenty of years down the road for him to recover from that. I'm not worried about it. The Washington Capitals, they win again. Ovi scores. Seems to work now on the right wing, but he scores from the left side anyway. He finds himself there. What do you make out of Spencer Carberry and what he's done with that team?
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, when the Capitals season ended last year, I had the pleasure of writing their postmortem, and I looked at it and I kept thinking, this team is in such a tough position because you could chase Ovechkin's legacy, you could try to keep retooling on the fly, which I thought they did a really good job doing at the deadline last year and the year prior, or do you go for it? And you think about what Spencer Carberry did with very little last year and the way he got the Capitals playing this cohesive game and helped players grow, even though Ovechkin was still doing his thing. It was everyone around him, I thought, improved so much that they gave him some like legitimately good pieces. And now they have that up-and-coming talent, like Alexi Protas, who has been fantastic to start the season. You're seeing Connor McMichael come into form a little bit more too. And it's all just clicking just right. Like, to me, it's an actually sustainable start, which I didn't expect to be saying at this point in the season. They look great at 5-on-5. They're getting help from all throughout the lineup, and it's just working. Even players like Tom Wilson, who really struggled last year, look a lot better, and it shows maybe how we underestimate recovery time sometimes. And Ovechkin is going. And, you know, it's not just about the race. Like, he's, you know, passing the puck, too. It's not like a selfish thing or anything like that. Like, it's all working right now. So I think I buy into their hot start.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, and I love him for this, and this is hard to say, given how much we know how much Mark Stone loves to score. But there's still nobody in the league that loves to score as much as Ovechkin. Oh. And last night, they're blowing Montreal out in the third. They've got a two-man advantage, and he is hammering right into shot blockers with I don't know how many minutes left. And he was at extended his shift, and then finally he went off the ice. And I'm like, this is amazing. He is so hungry for the goals right now.
No, he. Well, I've unfortunately seen him celebrate many times when he scored by me. And if it could be a big goal or a late game goal that didn't matter, he'd always celebrate. But you're right. Like, I feel like there's a little juice coming through Ovechkin, which...
And it comes from what Shane is talking about. One of their better pickups in the offseason was Matt Roy, who hasn't been playing due to injury. Right. But Chikrin's been good. The defense, you know, seems like it's...
Dubois's been all right, in that line with McMichael and Wilson, so it's working. But Shane, so let's go from Ovechkin to... You know, no Connor McDavid with the Oilers, and then they beat the Nashville Predators, and Draisaitl always kills the Nashville Predators, so he gets two more. Finally, Arvidsson scores. I'm worried about the Oilers, but could this little no McDavid time be what they needed, like the coaching change last year about this time of year?
It's a wake-up call, right? Because you can't be complacent. You can't say, okay, we're in a one-goal game, or, oh, we're down by two. It's okay, Connor will do something. And I'm not saying that's the attitude the Oilers have, but I feel like it would be hard to not think that way if you're in Edmonton, especially when you think about the way Connor McDavid played last year when he wasn't 100%. So Draisaitl stepping up is a great thing for them because he is a superstar. He can drive his own line. It's his opportunity to be like, I am the star of this team when I need to be. And it's going to be interesting because you have a guy like Zach Hyman, who finally breaks through last night. He is generating all of the chances in the world, but he can't capitalize on them. Going into Wednesday night's matchups, if I remember correctly, he was second in the league in expected goal total behind only Austin Matthews. He just wasn't converting, which is kind of similar to what happened in 22-23. Maybe it was an extreme regression of that shooting percentage, and now you're seeing it swing right back the other way. But to generate those scoring chances and not have McDavid behind you and have those passes that make his shots all the more dangerous, you're battling through a lot more. I'm very curious how this is going to go for them because it's going to open up the door to other guys stepping up, right? Not just Draisaitl. And I think that's going to be the key to their season, right? How does Jeff Skinner look in a top six role? Will Arvidsson finally click? And what's a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins going to do? Because his 5-on-5 numbers are concerning, as is his play on the score sheet right now. So if everyone can start finding their footing and then you add McDavid back, that could be what turns the Oilers back into a superstar team and that powerhouse we expect them to be.
If I had still had a farm to bet, I would have bet it all on a multi-point night for Leon Draisaitl yes. last night. It is ridiculous, and every year we get reminded of it. Here's a sample of his work against Nashville. In the last 9 head-to-head games, he has 11 goals, let alone the 23 points. But in Nashville, his last 7 trips into Nashville, he has 21 points. This is Gretzky-esque. This is insane. So whichever famous artist coined the phrase, nobody beats the road, meaning life on the road is hard.
Yeah.
Leon didn't get the message in the greatest road city in the NHL. Like, he is clearly staying off Broadway, or maybe he's enjoying Broadway. I don't know. Whatever. Nashville works for him.
Well, so. Nashville works for him, but Nashville's not working for Nashville right now.
Oh, no.
This is tough. So, Shayna.
Saros didn't look great.
Saros, the new contract, too. Brunette and, you know, Barry Trotson. He's looking for a center to maybe add at some point here. Is this the issue with Nashville more like their roster, or is it in the way that they play?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both because it's tough when you're a team that brings in a lot of talent and it's tough when you're a team that loses a lot of talent because it's that many moving parts. And I think that's been a big issue for the Oilers too this year because they're missing guys from all situation play that they're accustomed to having. And for the Predators, you're bringing in big name guys who, you know, Steven Stamkos has a signature style and you're trying to work that in. It's got to be difficult. But I still question, and I think we might have talked about this before, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the adaptability of Andrew Brunette, because this was his issue in my eyes in Florida as well, because he was handed the keys to a well-oiled ship and didn't know what to do. So this is a like a push comes to shove moment for him as well. If the roster isn't flawed, right, and it looks pretty good on paper, does he have it in him to now rethink the playing style of last year and make a make tweaks within his system to fit the guys he has now? Like, I really don't know. So I hope he can answer that.
Super quick. Do you have a thought as to whether there will be any more drama this year between Fiala and the Kings? And do you think Trevor Zegras will be a Duck for a long time?
Okay. Kevin Fiala, more drama. Yes. Why not? It's just the vibe I get. There's always drama in this league, it seems. And it's not amped up as much as last year, but I feel like we're totally going to see more there. As for Zegras, it's a really good question. I'm going to say no. His start in Anaheim has not been good this year. And you look at how other players are clicking around him, and Troy Terry still looks great, and Leo Carlson is developing, and McTavish looks really good on that line with Vetrano and Strome. But I look at Zegras and I'm still questioning where he fits at this point, honestly, for him to play his best hockey. And I almost wonder if there's just like a fundamental clashing now between styles, between him, the coaching, management, that it's just not working.
Yeah, fair questions for sure. Shayna, thank you so much. We got to fly. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.